was a fire lookout for 4 summers. This was in Wyoming, at over 10,000 feet elevation, and 11 miles by trail. After years working in jobs I disliked, I was finally doing something I loved, and it was the perfect fit for my brooding, introverted personality. You might say that in my career, I started at the top and worked my way down. My duties were simple: to look for and report fires, to occasionally relay radio communications, to record the weather, and to interact with the infrequent hiker. The pay wasn't much, no overtime hours, but I was working 7 days a week, and there was no place to spend my paycheck. So when I got off the mountain in September, after 100 straight days or so, I had a pocket full of money, only having to pay the rangers for the food that they hauled up on horses every few weeks. The lookout was a 16-foot square stone and glass cabin, built into the rocks by the Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC, in the 1930s. I paid no rent, I had firewood, which was sling-loaded up by helicopter, and I hauled water on my back in a 5-gallon container from a spring in the mountain saddle. One time at that spring, I encountered a lovesick bull moose, pathetically groaning, who thought I was some strange-looking potential mate. He came pretty close, but finally, with wildly waving arms and unmoose-like yelling, I convinced him otherwise. Good thing, too, for climbable trees were a long way off. Most nights I slept pretty well on my mountaintop, except when the wind was blowing hard, which happened fairly often. On my very first night, I was awakened by an odd noise from inside the cabin. It was a repetitive sound, like fingernails on chalkboard, followed by a thump. I laid in my cot for a while, trying to imagine what it could be, and finally grabbed a flashlight to locate the sound. I looked down into a bucket and saw a mouse frozen in my light. It had been jumping up the side and sliding down to the bottom, over and over. I set him free outside the door and returned to my now chilly bed. Later that night, I was awakened by the cool, slightly sticky feet of a mouse running across my face. I buried my head in the blanket and knew that come morning I had to find where these mice were coming from, uninvited, into my cabin. That day I found the likely spot, a 1-inch hole in the floor near a corner. I forced a small pointed rock into the hole and pounded it tight with a hammer. That night, and for many nights to come, I was awakened by the new sound of mice gnawing on that rock. It was their only entry into my cabin, and their gnawing, though annoying, sure beat the unsettled feeling of their feet running across my face. I did my laundry about once a week. When you haul 5 gallons or 40 pounds of water up a steep, rocky, 1,000-foot scree slope, you're pretty conservative about water use. Some of the clean gray water went into a container, and that, along with any rainwater, was used for laundry. On a sunny, windy day, clothes dried pretty quickly on the clothesline, although often it was a freeze-dry in the chilly, dry air. One day I had taken the last of my damp items out of a large galvanized tub to hang on the line, and in an instant, a gust of wind flung the tub off the mountain and down the side. It was quickly out of sight, rolling like a tire. I could briefly hear it bouncing off rocks, and then I could hear it no more. This was my only good-sized tub, so in the evening, when wildfires were no longer a threat, I took off in search of it. I started down where it was last seen, and then calculated for the strong west wind. It took a while, but I finally found it snagged in a small copse of stunted fir trees. Not far off was a fresh pile of grizzly bear scat. This concerned me, so to make noise in case a bear was nearby, I grabbed a rock and banged on the tub until I was out of the trees and back into my bare, free alpine elevation. My tub was severely dented but fully functional, and I felt pretty good about finding it among the endless rocks and rolling fringe of trees. To the north, a short walk down from my cabin, I had a less windy spot, my observation point, where I'd go in the evenings with my binoculars to look out over a series of high elevation lakes and meadows. These were the magical places visited by very few people. Here I watched a sow grizzly swim across a lake while her two cubs nervously ran along shore, too timid to join her in the water. I once saw a grizzly sprawled across a downed tree a few feet off the ground. It rubbed its back for many minutes, legs stretched out as if in ecstasy. Another time I watched a grizzly chase a black bear across a meadow. In other meadows spread across my view, I watched herds of elk and bison and some bighorn sheep. Around the cabin I had marmots that enjoyed my gray water pit and outhouse, to my disgust. Once I watched a gray fox kill and bury one of these marmots, only to exhume the body in the middle of the night. My favorite were pikas, who let me know by their emphatic "ank" when a raptor was around, and besides being lookouts themselves, spent their days gathering plants which they dried and stored for winter. One afternoon, to my surprise, a lone elk walked up to within feet of my cabin door, only to turn around and casually walk back down the rough trail. That was a very curious elk, perhaps, away from the herd, on its own, listening to the sound of its own drum, an animal to which I could relate.